Alert, 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 listen up now.
Tune into the Two Corner with Control
0XE0513.
We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation.
Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby.
Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen, a storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
Hey,
hold on,
you've
got to
get us out of here now! I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of freedomslips.org, revolution.radio, Studio A, right? Yeah, that's where I'm at. All right, we're going to get started with a little medical information. So I hope everybody's having a great week so far, and you find something joyous and something good that basically makes your heart sing, because we all deserve some warm fuzzies these days after everything else that's been going down around us, to us, because of us. I just want blessings and love for everybody. Here we go. This is nobody's opinion but their own. Dr. Tenpenny and guest. And you'll even get some prayers going on here. Whatever happens.
Well, good evening, everyone, and hello. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here at this weekly show on Brighteon.tv. It's the Tenpenny Files on Your Health. you know, for the last 23 years or so, I've given thousands of interviews and on radio, television, podcasts, conferences, seminars, just all of that. And I'm not exaggerating when I say it's been that many, but almost all of my information has been in one way or another about vaccines and problems associated with vaccination. But since I was the director of a level 2 trauma center for 12 years, I've had my own integrative medicine practice here in Cleveland, Ohio since 1996. There's a whole lot more things that I want to talk about. So we will be bringing to you each week conversations that I think are very interesting and things that you really want to hear. Tonight, our special guest is Corey Hellis, and we're going to be talking about some important topic that so many of you are asking questions about these days, and it has to do with the effects, the toxic effects on EMFs and what you can do about it. You won't want to miss this. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging, works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody.
Welcome back, everyone. And thank you for coming back to this episode with On Your Health with Dr. T. Tonight's special guest is Corey Hellis. He's a scientist and a principal inventor of the EMF Solution products. Corey's intense passion to help others stems from a firsthand knowledge of some adverse effects of EMF that he had and some health issues that improved when he had them remediated in his own world. As a holistic practitioner, Corey could not find any solutions to remediate EMFs. So he took it upon himself to study, learn, and create the first real and effective solution to eliminate how EMFs harm us. This result has been an exponential growth in the EMF Solutions, Inc., and an unplanned but amazing blessing. Corey, welcome so much this evening for On Your Health with Dr. T.
Thank you very much. Wonderful to be with you.
So when you decided to take this upon yourself and do this study, where did you begin? Where did you start?
Well, when I got into the EMF realm, I was actually a practitioner. I became a practitioner because I had major health problems that another practitioner helped me with years earlier. And so I wanted to give back. So I kind of got out of the finance world into the health world, wanted to help others. And I realized in a short period of time, if I don't address the elephant in the room, this EMF issue, then I was going to have a real hard time addressing my clients' issues. The bigger their issue is, the harder it is to address, because this elephant is just this invisible toxic mess is just growing exponentially year by year by year. And if you don't address it, you can ask, you know, Dr. McCullough and Dr. Klinghardt and so many other kind of like, you know, well-known medical doctors and holistic people. It's virtually impossible to get some people's conditions to go away without addressing it. So I just said, I got to address it. I knew how to muscle test. I had other ways of testing. and I could not find products. Just as a practitioner, I went just on a massive search. I couldn't find products that fully worked. A lot of them worked a little bit. Some didn't work at all. A few made it worse. So I said, well, gosh, that's not enough. And when I was selling my clients $390 chips for a phone that didn't completely fix the phone, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to figure out a way to do this. $270 later, and they didn't even fix their cell phone. So I set out and I found some studies by Dr. Martin Paul, who's a famous guy in the EMF world, scientist, and some others, and put the pieces together and realized nobody actually knew how EMFs were hurting us. So like nobody could explain that. So I was thinking, how do I get a solution for something that nobody even knows how the problem is being caused? So it was quite a problem. So I set out first to discover, how is this EMF affecting us? And I believe we found the missing link through a lot of other studies that helped us. And then when we found that out, we could then go about trying to create a solution. We did it, my wife and I, for ourselves and our clients. That's it. And it kind of worked out so well. I had so many testimonials that it grew so fast. I had to close my practice. Then she had to close hers. And I trained somebody else because I got too busy. And then I had to train somebody to train the people. And then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, we got a company. And this, you know, kind of by accident, which was a beautiful blessing. And that's kind of how I got into it.
Why do you think that some people are more sensitive to EMFs than others?
So it is a stress on us. And one reason is because if you're sicker, and you may not know it, but if you have more going on inside, autoimmune issues or just other issues inside, if you have those issues, when you get a massive toxic punch in your to your body, you're going to feel it a lot more. You're going to be a lot more sensitive. So that's the biggest reason I find. You also find way more testimonials when you help people that have some kind of health issues going on. The second thing, which is a strong theory based on a lot of research and evidence, if you have metal in your body, whether it's a metal plate from surgery or just a lot of heavy metals in your body, we found that metals amplify the negative effects of EMFs and make the effects much worse. So you could be a person full of heavy metals and maybe you're getting much more affected by sitting next to a router than somebody else who's sitting right the same distance, who's going, what are you talking about? You're crazy. I don't feel a thing. And then the other person who's full of heavy metals is freaking out because it's affecting them so bad. So those are two reasons I find that people could be more affected than other people. I guess there's a third reason. It's almost like a condition that you get. Your body might get so hurt by this over time that you develop a sensitivity. It's almost like an allergy. I call it like an allergy because you are now sensitive to it no matter what. Even if it's not hurting, your body's flipping out and having a negative reaction whenever you're around EMF. So that's like the last – that's a bad stage to be in, and more people are getting to that stage. And those people really need this bad. And it's a little harder to get them out of that hole. But we've done it a bunch of times, and you know, we've had pretty good success with that too.
What kind of symptoms might people be experiencing that they are having reactions to EMFs and being around them, and they may not even think it's an EMF? I mean, what kind of symptoms do people generally come to you with when you were doing your practice as a holistic practitioner that you might go, huh, I wonder if this whole complex of symptoms might be because you are having sensitivities to frequencies?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it seems like almost every major chronic condition today, like most of the major ones that are affecting so many people, seem to be very much connected or related to or caused by EMFs in some way. Sometimes the main cause, the direct cause, sometimes an influencing factor. One of the major causes and the most common testimonials we get is sleep problems or lack thereof, fatigue or energy issues, just, you know, lacking energy or having energy. So that's the second most common testimonial. So chronic fatigue issues. But the list is long. So concentration issues, greater effects on children, headaches, migraines, low production of melatonin when you're sleeping, and that's probably leads to the sleep issues and the being tired. There's evidence of Alzheimer's, tumors, cancers, the list is much longer than I'm naming. I'm just trying to go off the top of my head here. But I will say that all of the symptoms that you could have from EMFs, if you are healthy and you don't notice, you may have them and not notice, but you don't notice these yet. I say yet. You're getting DNA damage. You're getting free radical damage. These things are happening inside of your cells on a huge level, says many studies, including, you know, some we participated in. So that is happening to you. So if you want to live long, you want to look young, you want to, you know, hopefully not get into these symptoms or issues in the future. It's something that everybody should address anyway, because this is happening on a cellular level. And we've shown in studies how it is affecting cells as well. So.
You brought with you a slide deck to kind of explain some of these. Do you want to start going through some of those slides?
Yeah, I just kind of brought them in case something came up. But one thing that is neat to understand is that an X-ray is a nuclear power. These are EMFs. Okay, when you have a photon traveling light speed and it carries energy, it's called an EMF, an electromagnetic frequency. It's radiation. And just because you lower the oscillation of the electric and the magnetic force as this is traveling light speed carrying energy, that'll change from an X-ray or ionic radiation, really high frequency stuff, down to the lower frequency stuff, which is like your router, which is 5 billion waves a second. Doesn't sound like a low oscillation, but it's much, much lower than an X-ray. And then all the way down to a power line, which is about 60 waves per second, which is a much lower oscillation, but still radiation and still having effects on people. So it's neat to explain how the lower frequency EMFs affect us in a totally different way than an X-ray or other kinds of radiation. And that's kind of what we've theorized, and then since, you know, in a major way proven that this theory is like solid as it gets because of cells, human cells studies and others. So yeah, if you want to pull up the first slide, it's a neat diagram because it's hard to explain without this for people. How EMFs cause harm slide. I don't know. There we go. So if people can see this slide, the EMF we discovered, so I'm going to take a step back. Some of the smartest in the world and collectively across the board, they do not think that this frequencies of, let's say, your router at 5 billion waves per second and the intensity that it gives off, they do not believe it can harm you. And the reason is because it doesn't harm like an X-ray, and it doesn't do it directly. It's against the laws of physics for this EMF from your router to do DNA damage and get inside the cell and do this stuff. Yet it's happening, says all the biological studies, 10,000 plus biological studies, wow, is saying that this is happening. So that's where one of the problems in this world is, because you have two sciences that are butting heads. So if you look at this picture, the EMF here on the left-hand side in red is not directly causing the cellular changes and the problems in the cell. So what happens is EMFs go through walls. That's how you get cell phone service inside, right? Some of those EMFs go right through the wall. They don't hit anything. The photon makes it all the way to your antenna on your phone. Bam, you got a connection. You got a phone working. If they all got absorbed in the wall, you wouldn't have a phone that works, but a lot of them go through. Well, all the EMFs that don't make it through the wall, that get absorbed into the solid material and into the air and everything around you and the bed that you sleep on, the chair that you sit on, that absorbed radiation, okay, causes what we call subatomic chaos. And simply put, it's a shaking and vibrating of molecules in a way on a very small, subatomic level. It's just enough to like affect one particular process in our body that Dr. Martin Paul and a bunch of others discovered about a decade ago, called a voltage gated calcium channel. So our cells have little, let's call them little gates or little entryways for different things. So one entryway is for this double ion calcium molecule you can see on the chart. Another one's for magnesium. Another one's for sodium. Another one's for this amino acid and so on. So this gate is supposed to only fit double ion calcium molecules, and the voltage changes outside cause this to work properly versus inside the cell. Well, this shaking and vibrating of molecules we call subatomic chaos is giving a false message to your cell. At least that's what our theory is, because it is malfunctioning this cell. That is more than a theory. That's proven over and over and over. So EMF causes the shaking, vibrating. That causes the calcium channel to mess up. That causes too many positive calcium charges to go in the cell. That causes the free radical damage, the nitric oxide getting out of whack, and the free radical damage says Dr. Martin Paul, the biochemist, and the people you can go research. I'm quoting all this great expertise that came about before us. So the reason I like to point this out is, one, to show people we know what the heck we're talking about. We know what we're doing. And two, we're not blocking that EMF. You don't have to, because that's not doing the damage. This second domino we call subatomic chaos, that's doing the damage. Okay, that's causing the problem, I should say. So that's causing like the domino effect that leads to all the dominoes we don't want to have happen. So our products are addressing not the EMF, we're addressing that second domino, the subatomic chaos. Okay, so we're creating a field to address that. We're taking the shaking and vibrating all directions and we're harmonizing it. Okay, so it's, you could almost like picture a car that's on a gravel road that's shaking and vibrating, all of a sudden gets on a smooth road and it's a nice ride. And that's what we're doing to the environment with EMFs. It hopefully stops this reaction. And then we have all kinds of good experiences, like I'm pretty sure you already had, Dr. Tenpenny.
Yeah, I've just had some pretty amazing experiences with your products. And the reason I started with the first question of asking you, why do you think some people are more susceptible than others, is because I've never really considered myself to be real sensitive to electromagnetic frequencies. I mean, I have friends and I have patients that, just like you said, they just are always going bazonkers around that. And I didn't really think I had much of an issue until I got several of your products, and particularly the one that made the hugest difference that I could tell from the first night was the Z's product, the sleep product that you put between your box springs and your mattress. I mean, I've said for years, Corey, that I don't ever dream, which probably is not a true statement. I probably dream, but I don't wake up remembering my dreams. And when I would wake up remembering a dream, it would be like such a big event. Like, oh, that must have been something important I'm supposed to pay attention to. Well, now that I've been using this product, the Z's product, it looks, for the listeners, it looks like a little, it's like a 4x4 square. It looks like it's got little seeds in it. And, yeah, there you go. It looks like it's got little seeds in it. They feel, when you feel it, it feels like little beads, and you just
like a sandbag.
Yeah, you put it in between, in that same. You keep it in the container. You take it out of the plastic, put it in between the container, and I mean the very first. And I have no trouble with sleeping. Insomnia is not a problem in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I mean, if we were just sitting here and we were casually sitting in my living room, and you said, you know, I think you should go to sleep, I'd say, okay. Just go to sleep. I mean, my dad taught me how to do that when I was 7 years old. He said that sleep is a state of mind, and he learned how to do it when he was in the Korean War, that, you know, they had limited time, and when they had to sleep, they had to sleep. So he taught himself to shut off his brain and just go to sleep, which he somehow transmitted that to me, and I learned how to do that when I was really young. And so sleeping is not a problem for me. I never get enough hours of sleep, which is why I'm kind of tired. But using this product, I mean, suddenly by the second night, I was starting to have dreams and dream every night. And some of the dreams, like when my alarm would go off in the morning, I'd be like, no, I want to stay in my dream because it's so interesting. I want to stay in this dream. And so it's been really good. And then I went on a trip. I went to California for 10 days and I forgot to take that with me. And the first night I was like, oh man, the quality of my sleep was just not as good. It was just a quality difference. And I don't think I dreamed at all while I was out there. And now as soon as I got back, I just came back from out there. And tonight will be the third night. Last night was like, oh, I woke up feeling really good. And I felt that I started dreaming again. So I've sort of done my own trial. Excuse me, that I did with the product, with the Z's product, then I was away from it, and now I came back. And the only difference really is the Z's product in my bed. So I can be my own testimony on the quality of my sleep. I know I'm getting into deeper REM sleep because that's where you dream. And the dreams will go on for a long time because, like I said, I'll wake up and I'm like, no, wait, stop. Don't turn off the television. I wasn't done watching that show yet. So it was really super good. So tell people how that works. How does that What does the Z's product do to your bed so that somehow you end up with a better quality of sleep?
Well, all the products do the same thing, basically. We have different kind of materials and different products to address different situations slightly. You can go to our website and through your website, by the way. But you'll see like some of the ways we test the raw materials to make it happen. But they all do the same thing. And your testimonials can be very different than other people's because some people need to fix the whole house before any testimonials show up. That's like the norm. Some people get a testimonial from just putting a cell chip on their cell phone. You happen to get the Better Z's. Now, when you put the Better Z's in the bed, a lot of beds are made with metal springs. Do you have a sponge mattress or do you have a normal mattress with the metal springs?
I'm not really sure, honestly. It's a
normal mattress then.
I would say it's probably a normal mattress, yeah.
Not the foam kind. So
no,
when you have a normal mattress.
It's not a Tempur-Pedic or it's not a foam kind at all like that. In fact, I will say that where I was staying when I was in California, they had a Tempur-Pedic bed in there. It was just awful. It was just awful.
But even your Tempur-Pedic probably has a box spring that's metal in the bottom that holds that Tempur-Pedic above it. So what you're doing, you're sleeping on metal. And we already talked about metal. Metal is going to amplify the negative effects of EMFs. So if you have a negative, you know, effect of EMFs in your environment, you put the Better Z's on, that's going to make a huge shift in the right direction. If you have a home harmonizer, which is the 4-inch cube that goes on your electric meter, that's going to do the most good for somebody's house. But we always suggest putting a Better Z's in the bed just in case there's a little bit of a reason to fix that bed. The little thing in your bed is going to make it's going to be amplified in a bad way, especially if you have any metal in your frame or your box spring or your mattress. So that's why the Better Z's is real important. Now, when I travel to a hotel, I actually don't use the Better Z's. I take two room harmonizers and I plug them in around my bed. And I've always, you know, my wife and I do muscle testing and make sure that the situation's good. We sleep great. And that will turn on a bed also. But the Better Z's is a great insurance policy or does a really good job of doing it too.
You know, I'll tell you, I got the product also that was for my laptop. And the laptop, they're little squares and you put them on with tape underneath your laptop. And because I live in front of my computer, when I'm not sleeping, I'm pretty much in front of my computer. And I just felt like the sensation that I had when I put them on the laptop was like the energy just kind of went, oh, just like you just turned down the rheostat, just, oh. And now I'm down here in my studio where I do my podcasting, and I've got four screens and a whole bunch of lights and a big tower and all these other things. So I put all those little clips on the back. So there was the electronic clips. They come and you put it right where the wire goes into the piece of equipment. You put that on to neutralize the electricity coming into the equipment. And I've got a room harmonizer that sits across the front of me. And the biggest difference I can tell is that prior to doing that, I would be down here all day like today. My first podcast was at 9 o'clock this morning and I've been down here pretty much all day. And so you've got this, and even though it's not super high level, it's a lot from all these different screens and these electronic gadgets like around you all day. And I've got electronic adjustments and things over here. The difference is, the biggest difference that I can tell by being exposed to it all day long, prior to where I am now, is that when I go upstairs at night, after I've been down here sometimes 10, 12 hours, I'm not completely worn out. I mean, I would just before just feel like I could barely, sort of like Linus trying to drag your blankie up the stairs, you know, and the Charlie Brown cartoons, because I'd be so exhausted and completely wiped out. And now it's just like I've just been sitting outside in the sunshine all day. So with that, we're going to be taking a quick break here in just a minute, and then we're going to come back and talk some more about the effects of EMFs. We're going to talk specifically about EMF soul and what does it really mean? What does it really mean to do EMF remediation? I mean, that's a really interesting word, and we're going to talk about that after we come back from this commercial break. So you won't want to miss the second part of this. Stay tuned with what we're doing tonight at with Dr. Tenpenny on Your Health, and we'll be right back.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
If you want to find out what's really going on, watch Brighteon TV.
Hi, I'm Del Bigtree, and thanks for watching Brighteon TV.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Well, Welcome back. Welcome back to On Your Health with Dr. T. This evening, we're talking with Corey Hillis, a scientist and a holistic practitioner and the inventor of EMF solution products. I was talking about how great I sleep now, and it's really about the quality of sleep. In my health, I would be a whole lot better off if I just get a better quantity of sleep. And then the combination of the quality and the quantity, I mean, it would just like be really like rocket good for me. So I wanted to talk to Corey as I bring him back here. There are a lot of EMF things and what they call EMF neutralizers for their little chips and things for the back of your phone, or you put it on your computer, or sometimes you wear them around your neck. I mean, there's a lot of those on the market. What makes EMF solutions different? Why are your products different?
Well, it's a great, great question. So we're really the only ones that are addressing the root cause, period. I have a video on the bottom of the website. So when people go to your website and they go to the shop tab and they find EMF solutions, that's how they want to check out more information about EMF solutions, or check out getting a free home test, which is something everybody should do, or buying products or what have you. So I have a video at the menu on the very bottom of that homepage. I think every page. And it says 9 ways to remediate EMFs. And I go through the other ways that other companies are trying to remediate the EMF problem. And when you know that the subatomic chaos is the root cause, everything kind of centers around that. And so when you talk about grounding or negative ions, which is another thing people do, or scalar wave technology, or blocking the EMFs, or Schumann waves, and so on. When you talk about all these 9 methods, you really got to see how is that affecting the subatomic chaos. And a lot of them do indirectly, so they do have some positive effect. But some of them don't really address that at all in any way, indirectly at all. And they are beneficial, but they're beneficial in other ways that are not really fixing the EMF problem directly. I kind of explained it before. I've never found another place to explain how the EMF is actually causing the harm. And when you come up with solutions that seem to help, so people are making products for those in those different ways, that's nice. But it's a great example. If I'm trying to fix a rust problem, if I don't know chemically what's going on, I can't just paint over it and say, hey, the rust is gone. You know, it's coming back. It's in there. If you don't really scientifically like know what's going on with that, you can't address it. And so a lot of people are like addressing it best they know, but they're not addressing the root cause because they don't know the root cause. I'm happy to explain it to the world. They can see what we're doing and then say, holy cow, we got to start centering our attention there. But they already got products, so they don't usually do much more research. They're interested in earning money. And so the secret's out. But we're the only ones that can tell you it's the subatomic chaos. And when we address it, we're the only place that shows that it's fixed. There's been 20 some studies done showing these calcium channel problems are getting malfunctioned in a nasty way, that a lot of cells in our body are going to have 2 to 4 times the calcium inside. These are double ion molecules depolarizing the heck out of your cell, making the charges too much of a positive way, screwing up the charges in your cell and doing all these other things. So this is happening to cells. Well, a lab in Texas did the 20 something study showing that these calcium levels in different human cells kept in an incubator, not inside a person, no bias on the cells, that's just human cells, are having those reactions. But when they applied our products, it stopped. It normalized all those different cells. All the cool studies we have, there's 10 studies we've done. We have some really cool looking studies that are more impressive to look at, but there's no study better than this one to not only prove that our products are addressing the root cause, like we say, because you can look at this diagram that I put up earlier, EMF causing subatomic chaos, causing the calcium channel problem, causing all the symptoms. If we're addressing that second domino, that subatomic chaos, then the third domino, this calcium channel issue, would be fixed. And it was. That's never been done by another company. That's huge. I don't need any more studies. But we're doing more and we're working on 2 of the really cool things now, and hopefully in the future will be coming out with more cool stuff, because I want to be the place that has the most science, hands down, that just slam dunks at all, because we have big goals about, you know, eventually I hope to fix the cell phone.
Whoops.
When you buy in the store, and to fix the cell tower that's down the road, and so on. Like, they should just be all fixed. I believe we can live in a world with these EMFs and have all the cool technology that is along with it. I mean, look at your job all day is using all this technology. So I'm not dissing 5G. I'm not dissing any of it. I want the benefits of it, but we certainly don't want to you know, be hurt by it. And I think we can do that.
You know, and you can... Yeah, I think you're on the right track. You know, our link, we made a bit.ly link because it was kind of a long, and a bit.ly link is just a way to make it shorter. So it's bit.ly/DRT EMF SOL. And it's like EMF solutions with solutions shortened. So it's DR, and you can see it up there on the screen. It's bit.ly/DRT EMF SOL. So for Dr. Ted, that's our link. We'll take you right to the website, or you can go to drtenpenny.com underneath the shop tab, and you'll find it also there. one of the questions I have kind of for the listener, Corey, is that when you go to your website, there's a lot of choices. I mean, there's a lot of different things that people can look at. And I know that they can call and they can request an evaluation and people can get walked through things. But just in brief, if you were just going to go to the website, like what you said, if you just went to emfsolutions.com or use our bit.ly link at DRT EMF SOL, where would you suggest that people start? I mean, aside from getting the consultation, which I think everyone should do, because then you can specify the product selection to you, where do you think people should start as they start accumulating things that you sell?
So I first must say something very important. We are not emfsolutions.com, even though our company's name is EMF Solutions. So don't go there, because that's some other company that doesn't really do anything much related to what we do at all.
So what did I mess up there?
What's that?
What did I mess up? What should it be instead?
Oh, it's not emfsolutions.com, but I don't even need to say our website. I just wanted to go to your website to get the link to come to ours anyway, because I want to give you all credit for any listeners that come to us anyway. So I don't even need to mention our website.
Okay.
But it's not emfsolutions.com. Anyway, so to answer your question, I got so sidetracked.
I'm sorry about that. And it was my mess up. I really apologize. Yes. No, go fault. To our website so that we get, you know, EMF Solutions. And like, we have a lot of different affiliates that we work with, because the affiliate products we believe in, or we wouldn't have them on our website. We really believe them. And like by my own testimonial, I told you how much we actually use them. And I have the whole house one. I have it on my electronic gadgets. I have one on my phone. I have one on my laptop. So I believe in these products and I'm actually using them. And when we have our other affiliate programs, like, you know, with Cardio Miracle and, you know, with the Layla Ali Spices, when we do those, I use them all. I use them because I believe in them. And, you know, if you purchase them through us, you know, we do get a referral fee, and that helps our operation. It helps us to keep going, because it does take an entire village of people to make this big operation work. So, yes, if you use our bit.ly link, bit.ly/DRT EMF SOL, that will give us a little credit and we'll take you to these great products. So back to what I was asking you, if people were just going to get started, where would you say they could start?
Yeah. So in a perfect world, people fix everything. Now that I know how detrimental and how much it's doing in a bad way, you should fix everything. But let's say, you know, that's not your budget. You want to get started, but let's say for a few hundred dollars, what can I do? Well, for a few hundred dollars, you can do it. Big chunk of your entire life's EMFs. There's three things that you should get. And I don't know which is more important. So they're all important. One is a personal protection product. And so that's either a wristband. I don't like the jewelry as much. So, or it's a personal card. And the double XL card is what I'm always using. So I always have this in my back pocket. When I swim, I wear the band. There's certain times I wear the band. But this is like a credit card size device. So you're not 100% protected, because it's hard to protect a person when the EMFs are all around you, depending on how bad the EMFs are. but it's going to, in an overwhelming majority, do most of it most of the time. Okay. So get a personal product of some sort. The band, there's a smaller band that's good for, you know, those, I believe the website says maybe 4 foot tall or under. So that's a little bit for a little bit smaller person. The XL band, it fits even an infant's wrist up to a big, large adults, and most ankles can be fit into this because it adjusts so much. But it looks very much like a cell phone watch, and you put that on your wrist, and this is the strongest, best device that we have, the XL band. I know that some of your colleagues are really a big fan of that one. So that's the first product. Get a personal protection product. Not necessarily in this order. Get a room harmonizer. Fix your sleeping area. Bare minimum. Now, a Better Z's is a little bit less expensive, but it's not actually going to do as good as a room harmonizer really close to your bed. You plug that in close to your bed, and that's going to probably fix your sleeping area perfect almost every time. So that's the most important eight, give or take 8 hours a day that you need. Because like you said, even if you sleep well, and a lot of people think they sleep well and then they start fixing the EMFs, they're like, wow, I really sleep. I wasn't sleeping as good as I thought. But it's not about sleeping. When you're sleeping, you're supposed to be repairing. You're supposed to be making adrenaline for the next day. You're supposed to be making melatonin to prevent bad things and to heal things. You're supposed to be doing a lot of work when you sleep. The reason that we shut down to go to sleep is to have all that energy do other stuff to repair and get us all prepared for the next day. So when you're getting hammered by EMFs all night and your body's having to hypothetically fix all this damage from EMFs, you're stealing energy from you to do the stuff you should have done when you're sleeping. So many people, you know, hit 3 o'clock and they're dead tired, or they wake up tired because of that. So fix where you sleep is so important. And then usually it's fixing the cell phone is gigantically important. We live on our cell phones, most people. If you're a guy, you probably wear it in your pocket. I have it in my front pocket for years and years and years. And I was doing it for years without something good on the phone. And I got vein issues that ran down my leg. It looked like I had varicose veins almost. They were popping out. I had one old man leg and one young man leg.
Wow.
And I never knew it was EMF related until we made the EMF. We call it EMF chip. Now it's called the cell chip. I put it on the phone. Muscle tested great. Tested other ways great. I started wearing that product, and my veins that were like kind of popping out went 95% back to normal in just days. I was blown wow. away. I never thought EMFs could be anywhere related to something like that, but it must have been, or it was a big giant coincidence, because that's what happened. Always, my phone's always front left pocket. My car key's always front right pocket. You know, my wallet's back left. You know, we always have a system. But those are the three. So usually fix your cell phone, personal product, fix where you sleep. With either a Better Z's or even better than that would be a room harmonizer. So for a couple or a few $100, man, you can do so much good. That is sometimes 70% of the EMFs in your world, like taken care of with just a little investment.
How does the whole house harmonizer work? And particularly, let's say you live in an apartment building instead of, you know, I understand it if you live in a standalone house where the wires come into your house from the outside of your house, you kind of neutralize that frequency as it's coming into your house. But what do you do if you're in an apartment complex?
So the home harmonizer, which is the significant one that does the most good for a family and the home and everybody in it. This is a 4-inch cube. Usually, I think in your case, you put it on or on the pipe next to, connected to your electric meter outside, whether it's a smart meter or not. The reason that we do that is because it takes the field from the box. It goes through the metal wires, which conduct our field really well, and it spreads it into every room in the house. So we've had to make this product, just to let people know how significant this thing is, we've had to make this 4 times stronger since the pandemic started.
Wow.
And we're not sure why. And it happened a lot in the beginning. It was overnight. So I have a lot of practitioners and reps that are all over the country that know how to muscle test. So they put it on a house, and some are sensitive, like the canary in the coal mine. And they're like, oh, this feels good. No, it doesn't. So I started getting calls from reps saying, hey, our home harmonizer, which used to look like this, a home harmonizer is not doing the trick anymore. I'm having to use two home harmonizers. I'm having to use three. All of a sudden, I get one call, another call, another call. So that's, I'm always up on current events. Even if I'm not, I will find out really soon. So we had to make this four times stronger, and I'm pretty sure it's because of the 5G satellites. So I think we're getting hit the hardest, not necessarily by our own cell phone, by our own router, our own smart meter, but I think we're getting hit the hardest by the cell towers, which are on the ground and up in outer space. That's what I call cell towers in outer space, the satellites. So this takes care of everything from outside the house, plus many things in the house. That's why this is kind of like does the most good for a home. In an apartment, you don't have access all the time to your electric meter. So almost all the time you have a fuse box, and that fuse box runs to all, everything in there. So you can hang it on the wall by this hole right next to your fuse box so that our box is just right on the edge. And the video can show, it's me in the video showing people how to do the four different installs, and they're all pretty darn easy. This is the hardest product, and the hardest one of all the installs is just to put one screw here or a screw here and here. And then that's good to go. And that will remediate your apartment. And I got to say one more thing about apartments. Sometimes your apartment needs a whole house home harmonizer way more than a house does, because you're not only fixing your space, but you got to fight against not just the cell towers and everything else, but how many routers are right above you or right next to you or right below you, or Alexa, Google Home, PlayStations. There's so many things that are Wi-Fi-ing up the world that you could be sleeping in your bed, and on the other side of your wall could be a pile of EMFs. They're just, you know, wrecking you if you don't have something really powerful in your apartment.
Wow, that's a really, really good point. That's a really good point, because I've said a long time, you know, yes, it's one thing to remediate your house, but you're kind of in a neighborhood. And that's even more true in an apartment building, you know, because you've got a house with computers and routers above you and below you and on each side of you and across the hall from you. So to be able to at least remediate your own space. I mean, you can't do much about what they're doing next door, but you can stop what they're doing to you that's coming from next door. So, Corey, we're running down to our last few minutes here on your health is with Dr. T on this Monday night. What sort of words of wisdom would you like to leave with people as we wind up for our conversation here on EMFs this evening?
Go to our website, do some homework if this is new to you. We have other websites you can go to see thousands of studies or summaries of thousands of studies showing how this is harming you. You don't have to trust some dude that came on your show tonight. You can go to websites that don't sell products, that don't have any hidden agendas, like the bioinitiative.org/conclusions. It's on one of our pages that lists them out. When you read these studies or summaries of them, your jaw will drop. And you're like, how are we not knowing about this? Of course, listening to your show, a lot of people can answer that question. But it's amazing that it's not public knowledge. So do the homework, get it remediated. And if you're confused, because this is a lot, like you said, I really encourage people to sign up for a free home test that will either send somebody to your house if we have a local rep, and it's for free. They come to your house, they explain things to you, they assess it, they give you options. You can send them packing, and it costs you nothing. If they're not local, they can do a Zoom call or a call, and they can give you a lot of valuable information, answer your questions, and save you a lot of time. So I would encourage people to do that.
That sounds awesome. And to get there directly from our site, if you used our bit.ly link, bit.ly/DRTEMFSOL, and that will get you over to their site. We've had quite a few people that have done whole home evaluations, you know, and they really don't realize how bad that their houses are. So it is really one additional thing that we really need to be taking care of our lives for, because the 5G is soon to be going to 6G, and 10G is just what somebody told us just on a podcast that I did a couple of weeks ago, that in some parts of the country it's ramping up that much, and it's actually just coming even out of your electrical sockets. So it does make a big difference on your health, on your coagulability of your blood, on your ability to sleep and think clearly. And so it's really important for you to pull this forward. It's one of the reasons why I invited Corey on tonight, because we've talked to him before, but I really wanted to get it out to a bigger audience and to let people know there is something that you can do, and it's something to protect your health. Because we get calls all the time, or emails or text messages saying, what can I do to protect my health? What can I do to stop a lot of these things? Well, I think this EMF Solutions, which is our bit.ly link, bit.ly/DRTEMFSOL, is a good place to go. So with that, Corey, I want to thank you so much for all your effort. I mean, for taking this on and developing this company and getting all these great products out to us. And thank you for joining us here tonight on your health with Dr. T here at Brighteon. So I want to close out with just by saying I always close all of my broadcasts, whether they're pre-recorded or whether they're live like this one is. I always like to close with one of my favorite verses from the Bible, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him for everything. He'll never let you down. And stay tuned here for a couple of extra minutes. We're going to be talking about some solutions that are coming from our additional financial partners that help to support everything that we're doing. And we'll see you next week on the Tenpenny Files on Your Health right here at Brighteon.tv. Have a good evening, everyone. We have arranged for an exclusive discount so my followers can try my favorite zeolite detox spray, Pure Body Extra, for...
Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon Free Speech Video Platform, and today we're joined by Paul Wittenberger, who is a free speech documentary producer and so much more, by the way. And he's got a documentary called Fluoride Poison on Tap that will be running free starting this Saturday on our new Brighteon University website, which is called brightu.com. We'll tell you more about that later, but it's free starting Saturday. Paul Wittenberger joins us to talk about fluoride and other projects. Paul, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Mike, for having me on your program. It's exciting to talk to you. It's been a while since I've had a conversation with you. I know we interviewed you first back in 2011 for this film, so a long time ago. I feel like, you know, watching you all these years, I've really gotten a good chance to get to know you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we first met over a decade ago, and it has been a while since we talked, so this is probably overdue, but... You know, your documentary back then has been proven correct again and again and again. If anything, I think that, you know, didn't you have the Great Culling? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, the first kind of iteration of this film was originally going to be a three-part series focusing on the toxins in our food, water, and air that we produce with InfoWars. And we released that film. And then we decided to kind of re-release this film to just focus on fluoride. So we re-released it as a different film, Fluoride Poison on Tap, with a bunch of new footage in 2015.
Okay, but my point is that the things that you have been making in these films have been proven true again and again and again. I mean, you were years ahead of the curve on this.
Right. I mean, the film holds up very well today. I mean, I recently watched it with my children, and
going back in?
Still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, who? Why do you do it, man? Why? You some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. Freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
We are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal veins, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
That brought tears to my eyes. Oh, Mike, thank you for bringing us this platform that we could come here and try to help out the universe, the world, and all these other people. He built a great station, and we really could use your support, so don't hesitate, please, to support us, because we don't want anybody to miss the boat. Oh, goodness. Girdle springs. I tell you, I don't care if that was correct or not, or real or not, or whatever, but he brought smiles to my heart. And kind of miss him, you know. Because he was here on the front line well before so many other places. And even though he says in that thing 4 years, this is my 10th year with the station. At 5 days a week. Yeah, he just threw me to the wall. Everybody else gets 2 hours a week, you know, except Mr. Rowe. He's got, well, 4 hours a week and some other people, but, you know, like Robin Falco, she had 5 days a week. And miss her, too. She put on a really good show. But this station has been here for you. Not for the idea to make a power play, to be big or whatever, but just to get the common sense working and making sure you learned how to use discernment and critical thinking. I was on the front line with the fluoride way back when. Heck, my 40-some-year-old, he was basically not very old. I had sandwich boards on him, walking up and down the city hall steps fighting the fluoride. I had doctors and scientists on my side, and we tried like hell to get the fluoride to not go into the water in St. Pete, Florida. But it didn't work because the corporations always win out, because people are just belligerent and don't really care about how well they are or not. So, as we go on here, we're going to find out a little more about the fluoride. So, yeah, hey, let's drink some toxic waste, shall we? Oh, hell yeah. Go for it, go for it, go for it. Mr. Rowe, are you repeating yourself here? What are you doing, Mr. Rowe? Where did I go, huh? Where am I? Oh, there you are. Okie dokie.
And it's like, it like happened yesterday. It
right.
Everything has been proven right, and nothing in that film has been proven wrong at all.
Yeah, see, that's extraordinary. And, you know, if anything, then the COVID years now have also, I think, opened a lot of people's eyes to what you were talking about, the great culling. Because, you know, 10 years ago, if you said to people, hey, there's an effort to try to achieve depopulation, you know, people thought you were crazy. Now, about half of the people are like, yeah, you're probably right, because a lot of people I know have already died. You know, it's no longer a theory. People are seeing it every day around them.
Yeah, definitely. And there's 100% been a resurgence of this film. I've been noticing all the DVD sales going way up since COVID happened, because people are fed up with the nonsense that's been going on, and they're searching for the truth. I mean, a lot of people woke up during this whole COVID debacle.
Yeah, true. Exactly. A lot of people woke up, and a lot of people died, and thus they lost the opportunity to wake up. But I want to thank you, Paul, for giving us permission to broadcast your documentary. Again, Fluoride Poison on Tap. It's a must-see documentary. And you actually interviewed me for that as well, so I've got a couple of snippets in there. But it's going to be streaming for free on brightu.com. Right now it shows Cult of the Medics, which is the show that's currently running on brightu.com. But every 1 to 2 Saturdays, you know, every Saturday or every other Saturday, we have a new program for you, and it's free to watch. You just click here, you enter your email address, and you can watch it. It's free. And Cult of the Medics was multiple episodes, but Fluoride Poison on Tap is one documentary, and so it just repeats on a loop for the whole week. Paul, I would also invite you. We would love to run some of your other documentaries over time as well. if that's something you're open to.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Covidland series that we just produced with InfoWars would be an amazing addition to.
I think so.
And I think that series is awesome. It was definitely the most professional work I've ever put out. And so, yeah, I really hope, I can't wait till you guys get that out and get that to more eyes.
Well, we'd love to do that. So our producers will, of course, coordinate with you on that. What else are you working on right now? Because I think the world gives you plenty of topics to choose from. There's no shortage of fascinating topics to make documentaries about right now.
Right. Well, I do need to finish the Covidland series. We have the last two parts of that series that we're still finishing up. You know, because of all the problems that happened with InfoWars, that kind of that project got put on hold for a little bit. So we're hoping to get back to that. But I also have some different topics of interest that I get into, biblical topics and stuff that we discuss. And I'm working on a bunch of different films and ideas right now.
Well, I'm sure that everybody has a suggestion for you, you know, because if you're a filmmaker, everybody's got a film idea. So I'm going to give you an idea here as well. But because, you know, I did a film called Biosludged, which was, you know, about the biosolids being dumped on the farms and everything. And I thought if I did another film, and maybe this is something your team might consider long term, it would be called like Gender Benders. And it would be about the gender bender chemicals that the plastics, the atrazine, the chemical castrators, the hormone disruptors, the soy, everything that's actually contributing to gender bending. All right. You have anything on your slate looking at maybe gender issues?
Well, I've wanted to make a film on all this woke garbage, but I've never thought about doing one on specifically what you just talked about, but I'm not against it.
Yeah. Well, that would be like the chemical approach, right? It's saying that a lot of these people are actually victims of chemical contamination where their hormones get all screwed up because of exposure. You know, it's almost an environmental documentary. But anyway, it's about gender. Yeah. Crazy times. Okay, so what else is on your mind? Anything that you can tease us with that after Covidland?
I don't know. I'm trying to just work on one project at a time right now. I feel like I've been working on Covidland for so long now that that's really all I've been thinking about.
Okay, well, what about your website, framingtheworld.com? What do you have going on there that people can tune into? Other than I see your documentaries here and so on, but what else do you have there?
You can check out my archive on Rockfin as well, which you see there. I'm just trying to, you know, get out there to different alternative websites. Of course, I'm on Brighteon, BitChute, stuff like that, because YouTube is totally censored everything I've ever done. And so it's just, yeah, just trying to get out there to alternative platforms right now.
Okay, well, I think you're doing a good job of that, and more people are tuning into, you know, alternative platforms to get the truth about everything. But let's go back to fluoride. Actually, because fluoride, I believe that fluoride also alters people's neurophysiology in some ways. So it changes people's behavior in certain ways. What did you find when you talked to all these experts about how fluoride is impacting the psychology or the behavior of the population?
When I first started looking into this, I didn't realize how much fluoride affected all aspects of our life, you know, from our IQ to just our every part of our daily life. And so, you know, when I did this film, we interviewed tons of doctors and scientists and activists, and really went down the rabbit hole on all the ways that fluoride affects you in a host of different ways. And I think that this film does a really fantastic job at explaining each one of those issues and going through all those different issues in a clear, concise way.
But also then, I think you found this, you know, talking to the experts and doing your due diligence on the film, but The people pushing fluoride at a high enough level, they also know this. They know that fluoride is linked to, you know, fluorosis. They know it's linked to bone cancers. They know it's linked to, in some cases, psychiatric disorders. They know this at a certain level. Am I wrong on that, or do you think they know it, or do you think they just, it's an accident?
They have to know. I mean, there has been at least 64 tests on just children's, showing that children's IQ is lowered as a result of fluoride.
Yes.
There's study after study after study done that has proven that fluoride is toxic to your body. So, yeah, they have to know. It's just the propaganda has made it that people refuse to accept it.
So then, if they know it, what do you, we have to think about what's the motivation. Why are they putting it into the water supply? Because this is a mass poisoning of the population. It's deliberate, and they're using the water supply as a vector. What do you suppose are their goals in doing that?
Well, you know, it can't just be money. You know, obviously that is part of it. Is, you know, money is a key factor in this waste product, getting it out there. But it's more than that. I really do feel like there are powers out there that have been playing the long game and dumbing down the population. And fluoride is the perfect chemical to do that.
And okay, so dumbing down the population. It seems like we've arrived at this point in America where the craziest things are happening and people are just zombified. It's like they're oblivious to what's happening, and they're highly suggestible too. So do you think, or do any of the experts that you interviewed, do they think that that fluoride makes people either zombified or more suggestible or both?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of evidence that points to that. And you got to go back to where fluoride began. I mean, fluoride was historically used as a rat poison. And, so if you go back to that and realize that it is a highly toxic substance, it's obviously going to cause a lot of problems with you. And they have successfully put that in the water.
So then, okay, let's take this forward to the next logical step. They want people dumbed down. They want people zombified. They want people tranquilized. While something else happens that people would otherwise react to or respond to. You know what I'm saying? Like people, like what is happening in the world right now that people would otherwise be outraged about? Or maybe they'd be marching in the streets or something. What is happening, or what is about to happen, that they need everybody, you know, medicated down into drooling status? A guess? Do you have a guess on that?
Well, I mean, this whole COVID hoax is, you know, I think plays into it. We can look at how the population went along with all the draconian lockdown measures and everything. You know, the slow accumulation of fluoride in the population, I think, played a large part of how they were able to basically take over the world.
Yeah, good point. The fluoride made people perhaps very compliant with the COVID lockdowns and the masks. I was very shocked about the immediate compliance for something that no one can even see, right? So you're supposed to imagine that this COVID virus is floating in the air everywhere, and it's getting on everybody unless they're 6 feet apart. It's all in your head to imagine this, but they were able to create such fear that people just immediately complied with lockdowns and masks and then vaccines. It was shocking to me to see that compliance. Was it to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sad. I thought, you know, after this, I was like, no, people aren't going to shut down their business. And then immediately everybody just shut down. It was crazy. They use fear perfectly as a weapon to take over the entire population instantly.
Well, and maybe this was, I mean, I think it was a test run, actually. I think they were testing for something much bigger that's still coming. And since you're still working on finishing COVID Land with more episodes, are you covering any of that, that maybe the next plandemic? Because, you know, they've openly talked about more simulations, more things coming, you know, from Bill Gates to Fauci and others. They're openly saying, hey, there's a bigger one coming. What do they know that we don't?
Right. So episodes 4 and 5 is going into, the fourth one is going into propaganda, and the fifth one is going into the Great Reset and how they are actually trying to reshape the world. And so, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that that is the end goal here.
So when are those two episodes coming out, by the way?
I don't know. Right now we're in talks with InfoWars trying to figure everything out. It's been put on hold right now. So
okay.
Hopefully it gets on schedule.
All right. Well, yeah, we hope that gets back on schedule too, because I think your work is really important for the world. And I'm very glad that InfoWars is supporting your work. I hope that can get back on track as soon as possible. In the meantime, I want to mention to folks, just go to brightu.com to register to watch Fluoride Poison on Tap. That begins on a repeat loop, begins this Saturday. What would this Saturday be? That would be May 13th, 2023, in case you're watching this later. Just go to brightu.com, register. You can watch it for free, just with registration required. And then, of course, we'll have Paul back for other documentaries as well over time. Now, what can people do, Paul, to help support your work right now? I mean, can they purchase COVID Land films, or how do you support yourself?
Yeah, the biggest way to support me and my work is just to go to framingtheworld.com, get the movies, get the books, and help spread the message, especially with this re-release of Fluoride Poison on Tap at Brighteon University. I mean, I really encourage people to go to that website, get the download the DVD or download the digital file, get the DVD, share it with your friends and family. It is a powerful tool to wake up your friends and family. People don't realize, I think a lot of people out there, they don't get excited about fluoride for some reason, yet today in America, over 70% of the water is fluoridated. So this problem is not going away. Where I live in Michigan, 90% of the water is fluoridated. It is a serious issue even today, and people need to wake up their friends and family over this mass medication of the water supply. It's the only drug that is put into the water to treat you, not the water.
Well,
this is an important topic that people need to hear about.
I want to talk about that because you hit upon a really critical point. This is a medication that is dosed to everybody without a prescription, which violates, you know, the Hippocratic Oath, violates medical ethics. And there's also no consideration for how much fluoride people are getting through other sources. So people are already getting fluoride through things like toothpaste or even green tea in some cases, or, you know, other bottled water. Some of it has fluoride added into it. So how can a city drip fluoride into the water and literally medicate the population without knowing whether some people are already over-medicated? And also without a diagnosis of a fluoride deficiency. I mean, you talk about total blatant violation of medical ethics. I mean, this is a criminal act, in my opinion. What's your take?
Right. I mean, how do you control the dose? Everyone drinks a different amount of water. Everyone uses toothpaste. So the majority of people use fluoride toothpaste. So you get the fluoride from the toothpaste. You get the fluoride from your bottled water. You get the fluoride from your tap. I mean, and everyone drinks these amounts differently. So one person can drink, you know, four of these, which they get, you know, pea-sized amount of toothpaste in every one of these. And, you know, kids will get different amounts of fluoride. They don't weigh as much. So how do you control the dose? It is a huge issue to mass medicate indiscriminately the water supply. And, you know, there's a lot of health problems that are coming from it that people can see every day. I mean, just look at everyone's teeth. Most people have fluorosis of some level. And, it's sad.
Well, and that's the other thing. If you wanted to treat teeth with fluoride, you know, you would go to your dentist and they would give you, it's like a little bite thing, and then you put fluoride in that, and then you bite down on it, and the fluoride touches your teeth, and then you rinse it out and you spit it out. If you really wanted to treat everybody with fluoride, you would do that. You wouldn't make them drink it. It's like, I mean, what's a good example of this? It's like telling people to drink sunscreen to protect their skin from the sun. It's like you wouldn't put sunscreen in the water supply because that would be insane, because it's a topical treatment. Well, fluoride is a topical treatment for teeth, even in conventional dentistry. It's just they want to put it on your teeth and then rinse it out and spit it out. So why would they even think that everybody should be swallowing this medication?
Right. Yeah, and what's crazy to me is that the chemical that they're adding in the water is not just, it's not fluoride, it's hydrofluorosilicic acid. It's an actual industrial waste byproduct of the phosphate industry. And, you know, when you tell people that, they kind of glaze over, but it's real. I mean, you can go to your city council meeting and they give the minutes. I have this memorandum here, and I want to show your screen on the screen here. This is from the city of Dallas, their water supply. They just re-upped a two-year agreement in September of 2022 for $1.3 million of hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Wow.
With Univar Solutions. And so who is Univar Solutions? Well, if you look at who Univar Solutions is, this is one of the biggest distributors of fluoride. They have 120 locations throughout the nation. And if you look at the MSDS sheet for fluoride, for this hydrofluorosilicic acid, what they even say that they're putting in the water supply, it is an industrial chemical. It is harmful. If you look at the MSDS, it says harmful is swallowed, causes severe skin burns and damage, causes severe eye damages. It says do not eat or drink or smoke, you know. If swallowed, call the poison control center if you feel unwell. So, wow. I mean, it's just crazy that they would add this stuff to our water supply and then just act like it's normal. And look real quick back at this. It says at their meeting, they had two open mic speakers that spoke in opposition to community water fluoridation, claiming such practices constitutes medicating the public without their consent, which is true. They further objected to the use of hydrofluorosilicic acid as a use of fluoride sources, stating that it is industrial waste. More recently, reported fluoride in the drink represents neurological risk to children. So, which is all true. Then if you look down here, this is their justification. Well, the American Water Works Association approves it. The American National Standards Institute approves it. The National Sanitation Foundation approves it. So it's fine, you know, but it's not. I mean, look at the MSDS sheet. It's an industrial waste byproduct of the phosphate industry.
But see, now that we've all been through the COVID years and the COVID vaccine being pushed on us, the whole fluoride situation makes even more sense. Because we know, yes, they want to harm you. They want to cause disease. They want to poison you, like with mRNA injections or with gain-of-function research and then releasing that onto the world. It's like fluoride was a chemical weapon, where now we're subjected to biological weapons and even genetic weapons. So the only thing that's really changed is that the weapons have become a lot more advanced. But the fluoride chemical weapon is still there, still being dripped into the water supply. And you're right, it is an industrial waste. And I'm struck by the fact that if you or I, Paul, if we took a bag of hydrofluorosilicic acid and we dumped it into a river, we would be arrested and charged with environmental terrorism. by, you know, the EPA or law enforcement. But when a city does it, it's called public health. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I love about our film, Fluoride Poison on Tap, is that we actually go to Florida and we go to these phosphate plants. We film them from the sky and show not only the environmental devastation this is causing, but we show that this toxic byproduct, you know, eats through the, I mean, creates like sinkholes they're huge, that just go right down in the groundwater. It is a serious, serious issue that instead of, you know, disposing of this chemical, this hydrofluorosilicic acid, which costs millions of dollars to dispose of, they're just repackaging it and selling it and making a profit out of it. I mean, if you look back at that memorandum, they're paying $1.3 million a year, the city of Dallas. And this company has 120 locations. How much money are they making every year just on selling this hazardous byproduct?
Well, right. And this is, it's parallel to biosludge. So biosludge is all the human feces, the waste, everything flushed down the toilet. And then, for example, in Texas, the city of Austin takes all that human sewage and they ship it off to this place that bags it, and they call it Dillo dirt. And then they sell it at, you know, the gardening stores as garden dirt, which is insane. But they're doing the same thing with this hydrofluorosilicic acid. It's a toxic industrial waste. They just bag it. They put a label on it and say, oh, now it's public health treatment. And these cities pay millions of dollars for it. It's like you can actually get paid to dispose of toxic waste. If I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And somehow the population just like, yeah, safe and effective. Hook me up. When it's like, what are you doing? Like the dentist that we just got, we're new to this area, and we went in to go check out a local dentist. It wasn't like a IAOMT dentist or anything. It was just a normal dentist. They only had fluoride toothpaste. They didn't have any other. We're like, all right, time to find a new dentist.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right, right. I mean, it's in. They want you to brush with it and then drink with it and feed it to your children. Have you seen the infant bottled water that has extra fluoride in it?
Criminal.
Yeah.
Criminal. And when they would give that to a little baby, how do they sleep at night knowing that that has caused serious harm to children? It's crazy to me.
Well, we're living in a crazy society, a death cult, as I call it, by the way. They just looking for all kinds of ways to commit suicide. Fluoride is just one of many. So, folks, go to brightu.com and register to watch Fluoride Poison on Tap. And by the way, you can register here early. You can register for Cult of the Medics. And then when you come back, see, just enter your first name and your email address. And then you'll be able to watch Fluoride Poison on Tap this Saturday. Or if it just asks you to re-register, just enter the same thing, and you'll be able to watch actually every episode that we have on this. Paul, I really want to thank you for making this available. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this interview?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to encourage people to go out and speak at your local city council meeting. Do something about this. It is a serious issue that people need to stand up. On that paper, it said two people spoke out against it. If we had a line of people out the door in Dallas that spoke out against this issue, maybe they would take it more serious. But instead, two people show up, they're like, whatever. But, you know, 274 communities have stopped fluoridation since 2010. It is happening. The number is lowering. Since the film was released, less communities now are fluoridating their water supply. So spread the message about this film, Fluoride Poison on Tap. Get a copy of the DVD. Share it with your friends and family. And let people know about these important issues.
Okay, well said, Paul. And I want to give out your website one more time, framingtheworld.com. People can find your other films, and they can purchase DVDs and downloads there as well. And again, brightyou.com to register to watch the documentary beginning this Saturday. So a couple of great resources for folks to check out. And thank you, Paul. And I look forward to working with you on some additional films. And keep us posted on COVID land also, because we'd love to help bring some buzz to that project. And, you know, just keep me in the loop on it. We'll help you get the word out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. It's always good to talk with you. It's been far too long. Let's do this again.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Right. Who gives a damn? Next stop is Vietnam. 5, 6, 7. Seriously. It's disgusting what they do to us and what we allow them to do and how we just keep asking for more.
He'll do great things, that boy. That's what the village people said about him. Strong, coordinated, talented, smart and charming, the young man felt as though he could become anything he wanted. He stood tall with his shoulders back, and his blue eyes spoke of a steady self-confidence held deep within him. His body was strong, built tough through hours of intensive sword training. After endless hours of sword practice, he began to stroll through the village back to his home. A number of girls waved to him as he walked by, and he politely waved back. Upon arriving home, he began sharpening his swords, ready for training the next day. Suddenly, a spirit appeared behind him, calling his name. The young man spun around, ready to attack, only to find an incredibly plain-looking spirit floating harmlessly in the center of his room. Neither male nor female, the spirit held an entirely blank expression, neither happy nor sad, as though there was no emotion inside of it whatsoever. The spirit spoke, "Jean of Furthershaw, I am the spirit of seeing." The young man stood facing the spirit confrontationally. "What do you want?" he said, drawing his sword. The spirit remained completely unafraid. "Only to show you my powers, I can show you anything you can possibly imagine, for I am the spirit of seeing," the spirit replied plainly. The young man observed the spirit carefully. It continued to float passively in the air and seemed to pose no threat. "You can show me anything, huh? Show me the stables of Furthershaw," the young man said curiously. The spirit blew a puff of smoke, and inside the smoke, the stables could be seen clearly. The image of the stables hung in the air for several minutes before disappearing. The young man smiled. "How interesting," he thought to himself. Another idea immediately came to his mind. "Show me the most beautiful girl in the world," he suggested, with a smirk on his face. Without a word, the spirit blew another puff of smoke, and in it appeared the most beautiful girl the young man had ever seen. Her long, dark hair lay delicately over her pretty head. She had big, piercing brown eyes, a delicate nose, and plump lips. One hand lay perfectly on the hips of her gorgeous hourglass figure. The young man's pupils dilated as he stared at the girl in wonder for a full 5 minutes. Remembering where he was, he cleared his throat and composed himself once again. While he felt slightly embarrassed, the spirit maintained an empty gaze, seemingly unaffected by the young man's embarrassing display. Another idea entered the young man's mind. "Show me a great warrior," he commanded. As usual, the spirit blew yet another puff of smoke with an image of exactly what the young man had asked for. The perfect warrior stood looking into the distance, his body toned and muscular with a stern expression on his face. The young man marveled at this great warrior, pledging to himself that he too would one day be a great warrior just like this man. The young man had had enough. "You may now leave, spirit. I have seen enough," he said dismissively as he went back to sharpening his swords. The spirit of seeing spoke without emotion. I shall remain here, in the corner of your room, ready to show you my powers on your command. The young man shrugged his shoulders in acceptance. The spirit didn't seem to mean him any harm. As the weeks went by, the young man became accustomed to the spirit in his room. He used it to see the weather of the day, to see what his friends were doing, and he even started looking at beautiful girls with their clothing removed. After all, the spirit of seeing would show him anything he wanted. The weeks turned into months. He started leaving his sword training an hour early, and then 2 hours early, and then three, for the spirit of seeing was far more stimulating than dull, repetitive sword training. The girls in the village waved, but the young man stopped waving back. They were plain, he said to himself. One day, he would find a girl as beautiful as the ones he watched through the spirit, he thought. He began using the spirit to watch great battles. He cheered aloud as his favorite hero turned the tide of the skirmish at the very last minute, watching with eagerness, thinking that one day soon, he would lead his own army into battle. He thought of these battles while he practiced his sword work. He even began reciting lines he had heard his favorite hero speak as he swung. And he would leave training after just a few hours to rush home and watch a great battle. Not before seeing more beautiful naked girls, of course. A year passed, and the girls in the village had stopped waving. Some had wedded a husband. Most could be heard screaming the name of another boy in the village from the archery range each evening. Apparently, he was skilled with a bow. The young man cursed and muttered under his breath, something about real warriors not attacking from afar. He now trained only for a few short hours, and some days he would skip training altogether. He would walk at a quick pace through the village to get home, uninterested in exchanging pleasantries with the village folk. He had begun using the spirit to watch a number of beautiful naked women perform sexual acts on one another. It seemed now that a single naked woman was no longer interesting. His admiration for his favorite hero had turned into jealousy. He would watch the hero defeat enemy after enemy, the gap between himself and the hero seeming to loom ever larger. He could no longer run much of a distance. His shield felt heavy. His sword skills no longer matched other warriors of his own age. Several more years passed. The young man had given up on becoming a hero. Although he would still rewatch his favorite battles through the spirit from time to time, still unmarried, he had become deeply frustrated and sad. His sword lay quietly in the corner of the room, collecting dust. On the night of his 30th birthday, the man, nearing the end of his youth, sat alone in his room, feeling worse than he had ever felt. The clock struck 12. Suddenly, the spirit of seeing began to laugh. The man was startled. The spirit had never laughed before. In fact, it had never shown any emotion whatsoever. He looked up at the spirit, who caught his gaze. Slowly, the spirit of seeing grew a wide smile. For the first time in 10 years, the spirit spoke. "My work here is done," it said in a deep voice. "What are you talking about, spirit?" the man spoke fearfully. The spirit laughed again. "I shall reveal what I have kept secret for the past 10 years. I am the ultimate concentration of evil. I am the root of all the darkness in this world. I am the devil himself," the spirit spoke pridefully. The man became terrified, his mouth wide open and speechless. "A demon will attack this village tonight. A prophecy foretold that you were the one destined to defeat it. But it is I that has defeated you. And now the souls of this village are mine," the spirit spoke with a tone of utter glee. "Why wait 10 long years? The man asked in a shaky voice. "Why not fight me face to face the first time we met?" The spirit let out another laugh. "If I had fought you face to face, you would have conquered me. But I am cunning, and that slow drip of poison given to you through the means of endless fantasy has rendered you too weak to fight. And now, this village is mine." The man could do nothing other than slowly sit down. A deep, dark pain settled inside his stomach, one that he knew would never go away. Only the devil himself could inflict the deep, tormenting, inner anguish he felt pulsing through his mind. The torture in his mind was too much to bear. He needed something to quell the pain. "Can I see those beautiful girls just one more time?" A wide grin grew across the devil's face. "Always."
Hell is the place where the person you are meets the person you could have been.
This story was written by James McIntosh and narrated by Chris Williamson. You can find more of our content by checking out the links in the description.
Welcome to another episode of After School. I'm Andrew Huberman, professor of neurobiology and ophthalmology at Stanford School of Medicine and the host of the Huberman Lab podcast. Today, we'll be learning about how to improve focus and attention. So without further ado, let's watch the animation. The best way to get better at focusing is to use the mechanisms of focus that you were born with. And the key principle here is that mental focus follows visual focus. We are all familiar with the fact that our visual system can be unfocused, blurry, or jumping around, or we can be very laser focused on one location in space. What's interesting and vitally important to understanding how to access neuroplasticity is that you can use your visual focus and you can increase your visual focus as a way of increasing your mental focus abilities more broadly. So I'm going to explain how to do that. Plasticity starts with alertness. That alertness can come from a sense of love, a sense of joy, a sense of fear, doesn't matter. There are pharmacologic ways to access alertness too. The most common one is, of course, caffeine, which, if you watch the sleep episodes, you know, reduces this molecule that makes us sleepy called adenosine. Caffeine can be a relatively safe way to increase epinephrine. Now, many people are now also using Adderall. Adderall chemically looks a lot like amphetamine, and basically it is amphetamine. It will increase epinephrine release from locus coeruleus. It will wake up the brain, and that's why a lot of people rely on it. It does have a heavy basis for use in certain clinical syndromes prescribed, such as attention deficit. However, it also has a high probability of abuse, especially in those who are not prescribed it. Adderall will not increase focus. It increases alertness. It does not touch the acetylcholine system. And if those of you that are taking Adderall say, well, it really increases my focus overall, that's probably because your autonomic nervous system is just veering towards what we call parasympathetic. You're really just very sleepy, and so it's bringing your levels of alertness up. As I mentioned, Adderall is very problematic for a number of people. It can be habit-forming. Learning on Adderall does not always translate to high performance off or on Adderall at later times. And the Adderall discussion is a broader one that perhaps we should have with a psychiatrist in the room at some point, because it is a very widely abused drug at this point in time. The acetylcholine system and the focus that it brings is available, as I mentioned, through pharmacology, but also through these behavioral practices. And the behavioral practices that are anchored in visual focus are going to be the ones that are going to allow you to develop great depth and duration of focus. So let's think about visual focus for a second. When we focus on something visually, we have two options. We can either look at a very small region of space with a lot of detail and a lot of precision, or we can dilate our gaze and we can see big pieces of visual space with very little detail. It's a trade-off. We can't look at everything at high resolution. This is why we have the pupil more or less relates to the fovea of the eye, which is the area in which we have the most receptors, the highest density of receptors that perceive light. And so our acuity is much better in the center of our visual field than in our periphery. It's a simple experiment you can do right now. If you're listening to this, you can still do it. You can hold your hands out in front of you, provided that you're sighted. You should be able to see how many fingers you have in front of you. For me, it's five. Still got all five fingers, amazingly enough. If I move my hand off to the side, and I can't see them with precision, but as I move them back into the center of my visual field, I can see them with precision. And that's because the density, the number of pixels in the center of my visual field, is much higher than it is in the periphery. When we focus our eyes, we do a couple things. First of all, we tend to do that in the center of our visual field, and our two eyes tend to align in what's called a vergence eye movement towards a common point. The other thing that happens is the lens of our eye moves so that our brain now no longer sees the entire visual world, but is seeing a small cone of visual imagery. That small cone of visual imagery, or soda straw view of the world, has much higher acuity, higher resolution, than if I were to look at everything. Now you say, of course, this makes perfect sense, but that's about visual attention, not mental attention. Well, it turns out that focus in the brain is anchored to our visual system. I'll talk about blind people in a moment, but assuming that somebody is sighted, the key is to learn how to focus better visually if you want to bring about higher levels of cognitive or mental focus, even if you're engaged in a physical task. Now, there's a remarkable phenomenon in animals where animals that have their eyes on the side of their head are scanning the entire visual environment all the time. They're not focused on anything. Think your grazing animals, your cows, your sheep, your birds, etc. But think about a bird picking up seeds on the beach or on concrete. That bird's head is up here. It's up about a foot off the ground, or if it's a small bird, about 6 inches off the ground. And its eyes are on the side of its head, and yet it has this tiny beak that can quickly pick up these little seeds off the ground with immense precision. Now, if you try to do that by staring off to the sides of the room and picking up items in front of you with high precision at that tiny scale, little tiny objects, you will miss almost every time. They do it perfectly, and they don't smash their beak into the ground and damage it. They do it with beautiful movement acuity also. So how do they do it? How do they create this focus or this awareness of what's in front of them? And it turns out as they lower their head, their eyes very briefly move inward in what's called a vergence eye movement. Now, their eyes can't actually translocate in their head. They're fixed in the skull, just like yours and mine are. But when we move our eyes slightly inward, basically shortening or making the interpupillary distance, as it's called, smaller, two things happen. Not only do we develop a smaller visual window into the world, but we activate a set of neurons in our brainstem that trigger the release of both norepinephrine, epinephrine, and acetylcholine. Norepinephrine is kind of similar to epinephrine. So in other words, when our eyes are relaxed in our head, when we're just kind of looking at our entire visual environment, moving our head around, moving through space, we're in optic flow, things moving past us, or we're sitting still, we're looking broadly at our space, we're relaxed. When our eyes move slightly inward toward a particular visual target, our visual world shrinks, our level of visual focus goes up, and we know that this relates to the release of acetylcholine and epinephrine at the relevant sites in the brain for plasticity. Now, what this means is that if you have a hard time focusing your mind for sake of reading or for listening, you need to practice, and you can practice, focusing your visual system. Now, this works best if you practice focusing your visual system at the precise distance from the work that you intend to do for sake of plasticity. So how would this look in the real world? Let's say I am trying to concentrate on something related to, I don't know, science. I'm reading a science paper and I'm having a hard time. It's not absorbing. I might think that I'm only looking at the paper that I'm reading. I'm only looking at my screen. But actually, my eyes are probably darting around a bit. Experiments have been done on this. Or I'm gathering information from too many sources in the visual environment. Now, presumably, because it's me, I've already had my coffee, I'm hydrated, I'm well rested, I slept well, and I still experience these challenges in focusing. Spending just 60 to 120 seconds focusing my visual attention on a small window of my screen, meaning just on my screen with nothing on it, but bringing my eyes to that particular location increases not just my visual acuity for that location, but it brings about an increase in activity in a bunch of other brain areas that are associated with gathering information from this location. So put simply, if you want to improve your ability to focus, practice visual focus. Now, if you wear contacts or you wear corrective lenses, that's fine. You, of course, would want to use those. You don't want to take those off and use a blurry image. The finer the visual image and the more that you can hold your gaze to that visual image, the higher your levels of attention will be. Many times on Instagram and here I've been teased for not blinking very often. That's actually a practiced thing. We blink more as we get tired. which as you hear it, you'll probably just say, duh. As we get tired, the neurons in the brainstem that are responsible for alertness and that hold the eyelids open start to falter and our eyelids start to close. This is why it's hard. The words, I could barely keep my eyes open, which may be how you feel right now. But assuming that you're paying attention and you're alert, when you're very alert, your eyes are wide, your eyes are open. And as you get tired, your eyelids start to close. Blinks actually reset our perception of time and space. This was shown in a beautiful paper in Current Biology. I'll be sure to post the reference in the notes. And blinking, of course, is necessary to lubricate the eyes. People blink because their eyes might get dry. But if you can keep focus by blinking less and by focusing your eyes to a particular location, it's probably pretty creepy for you to experience as I'm doing this. But the more that you can do this, the more that you can maintain a kind of a cone or a tunnel of mental focus. Now, you may ask, well, what about the experiment where people were, you know, feeling this rotating drum or listening to the auditory cue? That doesn't involve vision at all. Ah, if you look at people who are learning things with their auditory system, they will often close their eyes. And that's not a coincidence. If somebody is listening very hard, please don't ask them to look you directly in the eye while also asking that they listen to you. That's actually one of the worst ways to get somebody to listen to you. If you say, now listen to me and look me in the eye, the visual system will take over and they'll see your mouth move, but they're going to hear their thoughts more. They're going to hear what you're saying. Closing the eyes is one of the best ways to create a cone of auditory attention. And this is what low vision or no vision folks do. They have tremendous capacity to focus their attention in particular locations. Incidentally, does anyone know the two animals that have the best hearing in the world? The absolute best hearing, many orders of magnitude better than humans. Turns out it's the elephant. That might not surprise you. They have huge ears. And the moth, which probably will surprise you. I didn't even know that moths could hear. But now it explains why they're so hard to catch. If you are not sighted, you learn how to do this with your hearing. If you're somebody who braille reads, you learn how to do this with your fingers. If you look at great piano players like Glenn Gould, they oftentimes will turn their head to the side. You think about some of the great musicians that, like Stevie Wonder, that were blind, right? He would look away because he had no reason to look at the keys, but oftentimes they'll orient an ear or one side of their head to the keys on the piano. As I mentioned before, people who are non-sighted have better pitch. So we have these cones of attention that we can devote. And for most people, vision is the primary way to train up this focus ability and these cones of attention. So you absolutely have to focus on the thing that you're trying to learn. And you will feel some agitation because of the epinephrine in your system. If you're feeling agitation and it's challenging to focus and you're feeling like you're not doing it right, chances are you're doing it right. And you can practice this ability to stare for long periods of time without blinking. If your goal is to learn how to control that visual window for sake of controlling your focus, it can be an immensely powerful portal into these mechanisms of plasticity because we know it engages things like nucleus basalis and these other brainstem mechanisms. I get a lot of questions about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and attention deficit disorder. Some people actually have clinically diagnosed ADD and ADHD. And if you do, you should certainly work with a good psychiatrist to try and figure out the right pharmacology and or behavioral practices for you. Many people, however, have given themselves a low-grade ADHD or ADD because of the way that they move through their world. They are looking at their phone a lot of the time. It's actually very easy to anchor your attention to your phone for the following reason. First of all, it's very restricted in size, so it's very easy to limit your visual attention to something about this big. It's one of the design features of the phone. The other is that just as you've probably heard, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, a movie is worth 10,000 pictures. Anytime we're looking at things that have motion, visual motion, our attentional system will naturally gravitate towards them, towards those movies. It's actually much harder to read words on a page than it used to be for many people because we're used to seeing things spelled out for us in YouTube videos or videos where things move and are very dramatic. It is true that the more that we look at those motion stimuli, the more that we're seeing.
Everybody have a great evening.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest.